One of the more interesting stories to come out of the redistricting maps that came out last week is Representative Kelly Morrison, who has basically seen her district dramatically change numbers a lot, too. She was a 33B currently. She's a representative for 33B. But now she is going to run for Senate District 45. That might sound familiar. Yesterday we had the current senator for 45, Senator Ann Johnson Stewart, on to talk about this. Today we have Representative Kelly Morrison to join us to talk about her decision, as well as also some of the things she's been working on in the Minnesota House this last year and this upcoming year. Representative, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Well, thanks for having me on, Matt. I'm glad to join you.
I'm glad you were able to join us, too, because your district, and the way I've said it is this. When you start moving things in the metro cores, things when you got out to the secondary and tertiary suburbs, things got a little weird. And your district, although it seems to mostly be in place, it seems like you kind of, what would have been your district, you're no longer in. But you also have a district which really has gone from Senator Dave Osmek, the Republican, and now has a real opportunity for the DFL to pick up this seat in the Minnesota Senate. Talk a little bit about your decision and the redistricting changes that happened there.
Yeah, well, redistricting, as you know, is sort of like 52-card pickup. Everything changes. So the new map drew three elected legislators into the same house, three DFL elected legislators into the same House and Senate district. So that was Representative Patty Acomb, Senator Ann Johnson Stewart, and myself. So unless one of us was going to move, we were going to have an endorsement contest. And I have to correct you a little bit because Senator Johnson Stewart, who I love, by the way, and Representative Acomb, they're friends and tremendous legislators, and I have a ton of respect for both of them. But she was the senator for the former District 44.
Yes.
So now the three of us are drawn into a Senate district with Senator Dave Osmek, as you referenced. And so looking at the totality of it, my former District 33B is kind of in the heart of the new Senate District 45. And you remember I flipped a red seat in Maine that had been held by a three-term incumbent, never held by a Democrat before. So I know how to win in this area. I held that onto that seat by a narrow margin in 2020. And I think I have the best shot of taking down Dave Osmek. So that was my logic for running for Senate rather than running for the House seat in the newly drawn district.
Well, and by the way, thank you for correcting me. Senator Stewart, Johnson Stewart, is in 44 currently. And like I said, it was like I had last week. I had Senator Marty and I had Senator Isaacson on. They're now in the same district. You know, this thing does happen. And so kind of put people in there. Let's just all, though, take a quick moment to do appreciate the fact that we really have a good chance at taking out Senator Dave Osmek out of this district because the district changed, and it changed for the positive. It's actually one of the better districts now for the DFL because you bring in that western side of Minnetonka and that comes into the district. So an area that's been leaning more and more Democrats, my gosh, in the last 12 years, those areas went from toss-up seats to now pretty much guaranteed Democratic seats. You're picking up that. Now you do get St. Bonifacius and kind of the western side of Hennepin County.
Yeah.
But overall, yeah. I think this district, as you pointed out, you know, you went in there and you took on a Republicans in a district that was not supposed to be winnable for the DFL, and you did it in 2018 and again in 2020. And that tells you a lot about how you resonate within that district.
Well, you're right. The district has become more favorable for us, but it's still close. You know, depending on what numbers you're using, you know, it's maybe a plus 3% district, and those are the Biden-Trump numbers. And we may be dealing with a different mood of the electorate this fall. It's hard to predict. So this is a race that's going to take a lot of work, but I believe we can win it.
Well, as I said yesterday, I can't wait for Osmek to come on out and say, I'm really a moderate. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I've got your record to show you then, because you're not a moderate. You are in the House and finally representing 33B. Let's go back to this last year. Let's talk about one or two things that you got done in 2021 that you're really proud of.
You know, I'm the only doctor in the House, so healthcare is sort of a natural focus for me. And in the wake of George Floyd's murder, the House you recall, declared racism a public health crisis, and we formed the House Select Committee on Racial Justice, and they came up with this really brilliant list of priorities. And I tackled two of them. One, making sure that all new mothers get coverage, get medical assistance coverage for a full 12 months after they give birth. Previously in Minnesota, they got 2 months. So we got to make sure people have access to the health care they need so that their babies and their new families can get off to the best possible start. And we were able to change that law. So Minnesotans are now covered for a full 12 months postpartum. And then another one that took a little bit of educating of some of my compatriots on the other side in the Senate. This was a bill that exempts providers of prenatal care from being mandatory reporters of women who use substances during their pregnancy. So in other words, providers were put in a kind of a policing position with their patients. So even if someone came in and said, I'm struggling, I need to get into treatment, the provider was mandated to report them to the local welfare agency, which often led to kids being taken away from their moms, separating families, and discouraging people from getting the care they need. So took me a couple of years, but I finally convinced some Republicans, too, that the reason to do this, one of them said to me at one point, Kelly, why do you want to encourage pregnant women to use heroin when they're pregnant?
Oh, geez.
And I said, you know, it's really quite the opposite. What we're trying to do is encourage women to trust their providers so that they come in and get the care that they need, so that they get treatment if they need it, so that they have the best possible outcome for their pregnancy. So we got that changed as well, and that was really a win, I think. Oh. Two other things I want to mention. We formalized some of the changes that we made during the pandemic around telehealth so that people can continue to get care both by video and telephone only also, which is great. I've found veterans really prefer sometimes getting therapy over the phone rather than by video.
Yes.
People who are geographically isolated. A lot of people in our urban centers don't have great internet, and so it's another way for them to get the care they need. And then lastly, we passed SciPac, which is an interstate compact that allows psychologists to practice across state lines without having to be licensed in each state. As you know, we have a mental health crisis across the country, and Minnesota is no exception. So we got to do everything we can to find the providers to get care to our Minnesotans who need it. So that was another thing that I was really proud to get across the finish line last year.
Two of the things, if I can bring them back up here. First of all, I want to go back to this. I want to go back to this idea of not forcing care providers to be basically, you know, parole officers. And,
exactly.
And I guess the question I had, how did you convince the Republicans to go along with that? And the guys being is that their standard mentality is lock them up, let them have their kid in jail, and they don't care. And that is really impressive that you were able to convince enough Republicans in the Senate to go along with you.
You know, there is, most people I find have a soft spot for babies, right?
Yes.
Motherhood and apple pie. So most people understand that we need to get our youngest Minnesotans off to the best possible start. And I think the fact that the opioid epidemic has impacted almost every one of us, everyone can relate to it on some level. They either have a family member or they themselves, or they know someone who's been impacted by this epidemic. So they get how hard it is. And I think that that personal connection helped break through to people, and they were able to put their partisan ideology aside and do the right thing, in my view.
The other thing is, and this is something we have talked about a few times here on the show, and I'm going to do some more interviews coming up here before too long. We are staring at the edge of a cliff in regards to mental health issues in this state.
Yeah.
It was already grossly, I'll be blunt, grossly inadequate, especially in rural parts of the state prior to this pandemic. But this pandemic has heaped it on and heaped it on quite a bit. Talk a little bit about that. I mean, obviously, I don't want necessarily, you know, we can talk about 2022 as well and what you want to try to bring up here in your last session in the House here. But, I mean, what are we going to be able to do? Are we going to be able to work with the Republicans to get something passed? Because this is a crisis that affects everybody in the state.
It absolutely is, and there are ways in which there's overlap with what I just described about the opioid epidemic.
Yes.
Every single one of us has either personally been impacted by a mental health challenge or has a family member or a good friend who has. So we all feel it. We all know that this is here, as you put it so well, we're on the edge of a cliff here. And so we have to, it's forcing people, I think, to meet at the table and recognize that we have common goals here, that we've got to take care of Minnesotans. And also this recognition that mental health is health. It's not in sort of a separate box from physical health. And that is a positive. It's unfortunate that we had to get this deep into this crisis for people to recognize that. But I think that will help us going forward. To bring people along, to make sure that we're funding programs that we need to so that people can get the care that they need.
Let's look at 2022 then. So, I mean, we've talked about a few things here. What is on your agenda to try to get through this House session ahead of us?
Well, one of them is about mental health, and I actually crafted this bill with some students, and it calls for doing annual mental health screening in our schools. And bolstering our mental health workforce within our schools. So that is a big priority of mine. I have, I'm an OBGYN in my other life, and I'm a co-founder and co-chair of the new Reproductive Freedom Caucus in the legislature. And obviously, with what's happening across the country, protecting access to abortion care is pretty preeminent in many of our minds. We're going to have a Supreme Court decision this summer that looks likely to either truly overturn the Roe versus Wade decision or at least gut it. And Minnesota, for a while, has been a beacon of access in the upper Midwest. And so we really need to do everything that we can to protect that, because not only are we're going to be taking care of Minnesotans, but we're going to be a regional center for providing care.
Yes.
So I'm carrying a bill called the PRO Act, or the Protect Reproductive Options Act, that enshrines the right to make reproductive health decisions into law. We're lucky in Minnesota in that we have a court decision that protects it, but we need that double layer of protection so that Minnesotans will not lose their access to abortion care.
Well, and as you bring that up, and one of the things I think is so important is that, if we don't fight and win in 2022, that the Republicans, if they get the chance, they are going to pass every draconian wish list. Even if it's a one-seat majority in both the House and the Senate, they'll pass everything they can and act like they've done something good, and then scream at the last second, "We're really moderates." But the reality is that, if we're not going out there and not just in the Senate District 45 race, but if we're not going across all the races, the House races in this, and putting out really strong points that this is, abortion access is something that, 67% of people are for? And so if those people do not get to the polls and vote, guess what's going to happen is that the minority is going to exert their authority over the majority. And you just don't want that to happen.
That's right. Our state would look very different if the Republicans took control of the three branches. Mm.
Thank you for being a nurse, by the way. It's this last 2 years, my gosh, it's been, and even though you say OBGYN, I know you've been called to death 1,000 different directions in the last 2 years. You're all angels. Every one of you, doctors, nurses, anyone that works in a hospital or a medical facility, you're all angels. And thank you very much for all you've done for us over the last 2 years. Thank you.
Well, thank you for saying so. We're all in this together, and we all have a role in getting us through this. People talk about, we need to go back to this, we need to go back to that. I really think we have to focus on forging a new tomorrow and moving to a better time and be forward looking. Mm-hmm. So happy to be on today. Thank you for inviting me, Matt.
My pleasure. One quick thing, though. Do you have a Senate page up for people to go find out more about your campaign?
I'm in the middle of doing that, but my House website is still up, and you can certainly still read about my priorities there. And very soon it will be, it'll go from Morrison for House to Morrison for Senate.
So MorrisonForHouse.com, MorrisonForHouse.com. I will make sure I link to everything out there. Representative, I really appreciate it. Once again, Representative for 33B for this year, running for Senate District 45 next year. Representative, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to have you on the air with us.
Thanks so much, Matt. Have a good night.
Take care. Democrat of the day, Representative Kelly Morrison. Currently, like I said, Senate District 33 or House District 33B. She's going to be running in a crowded, as she said, now crowded 45, Senate District 45. But you know what? This is, you know, she can't deny one thing. She did win that seat. And I remember when she won that seat, I was like, wow. DFL picked up that seat. That was 2018 was a bad year for the GOP. That was a nice win for Representative Morrison. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.